Let's get to our guest, Priya Misra, Global Head of Rates Strategy at TD Securities. So Priya, I'm a little confused here. Recession fears are gaining momentum, and we see that with the weak retail sales and the stumbling manufacturing, also the strong bid for long-term treasuries and the widening inversion of the yield curve. So there's definitely that fear. Yet, as I mentioned to Doug a few moments ago, the Atlanta Fed GDP Now tracker shows growth at 2.7%. So what's going on?
Sure. Thanks for having me. Great question. I think the data right now, it's very hard to argue that it's signaling a recession, but the market's forward-looking. And we realize that monetary policy works with a lag. And so I think what the market's saying is there's a lot that the Fed has done. And it's not just the Fed. We've had tightening in financial conditions because it's a global rise in interest rates and global QT. So I think forward-looking expectations of growth are what are declining, as opposed to the data. The consumer looks strong. The labor market looks strong. But I will say the Fed meeting yesterday also reinforced some of those recession fears. I mean, despite the Fed putting in significant rate hikes, they still have the unemployment rate rising, you know, 4.6% by the end of next year. They have almost like zero GDP for next year as well. I mean, they're calling it a soft landing, but it's very close to a recession. So I think it reinforced fears. That's why it's brought a bid to bonds. It's continued that bid that was building up anyway. It's just the fear that the Fed may have already overdone it, whether they end at 5 or 5.5%. You know, they've done a lot, and that's going to slow down the economy, lead to a recession, and that's why that long end is performing well. I think the market's a little pessimistic in terms of how quickly the economy slows down, but I have to say our base case is for a recession in the second half of next year, and the Fed starting to ease rates by December. So I don't disagree with the timing.
I was initially going to make my question, true or false. It unravels quickly from here, but you're saying no, not until the second half of next year, because you think there's residual strength.
Right. There is momentum in the consumer. There is still that savings. The savings have not been fully depleted. And I think that's what's keeping the consumer strong. Also, the labor market is very strong because companies are hoarding labor. So I think for the labor market to really weaken, you're going to need a few quarters of weak consumer spending. So yeah, we see that more in the second half of next year.
So, I mean, I'm seeing quite a bit of, in terms of spreads with U.S. Treasuries, with Germany, with Japan. I mean, they've narrowed a bit here this week already. Should I expect spreads to continue to tighten?
Yeah, I think, the spread story is also more about what's happening with other central banks. I think ECB has a lot more to catch up, and particularly QT. I think it's unknown. I think QT is very hard for markets to price in. And so we expect actually more of that compression particularly with Europe, as the market realizes there's a lot of supply. The first quarter typically brings in more supply as well. So particularly with Europe, but yeah, I think the US has already priced in tight policy and now is pricing in slower growth. The rest of the world is still catching up. I think the UK has caught up, but Europe, I think, has some ways to go.
Let's talk a little bit about China, because a lot of mixed signals there as well. I mentioned earlier in the program that we had this kind of dichotomy. On the one hand, the U.S. is getting tough on China. On the other hand, they're softening on the delisting. Are you confident that geopolitics doesn't do more damage in 2023, or do you think it does?
You know, I think the changing world order, our view is that is something we're going to have to live with for many years to come. You know, is it a 23 market event or is it the next 5 years? I would say it's the next 5 years. There is this shifting world order that we've been used to, and I think it is shifting, and it's a structural theme that we should price in, and asset markets will price that in. I mean, I think for next year, it's much more about the reopening process, and how does China, do they put in stimulus in order to, I think we're waiting to see that economic work conference. Are they willing to accept the lower GDP, or is there going to be stimulus? I think that'll dominate more in 2023. But when we're talking about, 2024 after the US election, I think that's when we should be thinking about geopolitics and what's the U.S.-China relationship. I think that's when that becomes more in focus. I don't see particular policy decisions from the U.S. changing that in the very near term.
Yeah, and you mentioned the reopening play. I mean, you're seeing this pretty violent rotation out of government bonds, out of credit in China, into the equity market. Should I expect that to continue? And do you think the bond market has fully priced in this sort of reopening?
Yeah, I do think the expectation, I think nobody expected such a quick reopening. I have to say I've been surprised. And is you know what that's telling me is that the Chinese authorities are responding to the protests as well as the economic impact of the lockdowns. And so does that mean they're going to have maybe more targeted stimulus? I don't think we get broad-based stimulus, but if you're going to get more targeted stimulus, that's good for the economy. So I think there's more in that rotation. But we have to really wait to see what does China do in terms of policy measures. And as I said, I'm waiting for that economic work conference for details.
None of us wants to talk politics, but we have to be aware of it. This dismantling of the COVID strategy, does it suggest to us that Xi Jinping is losing power to his peers in the party?
Or is he being more responsive to the economy? I mean, at the end of the day, there's a health policy and an economic policy, and the two, if the two are too out of sync, it's not politically stable. And so, you know, is there a power struggle, perhaps? Is he just being more responsive?
Because they're not saying anything. You know, the top party members, the only person we heard from was the vice premier, Sun Chunlan, saying that we're at a new stage. So it definitely raises some questions. Priya, thanks very much. Priya Misra from TD Securities. This is Bloomberg.